The Good Liars.
The Good Liars.
This is boring.
We're boring.
I will die standing in my boots.
Herschel, I got you some condoms.
What made everyone so weird and sad that they had to come out here?
Oh, Mr. President, welcome to the show.
We are the Good Liars, and we are going to tell the truth. Trust us.
Welcome to the Good Liars Tell the Truth. I am Jason Selvig.
And I'm DeVrom Stiefler, and we are the Good Liars.
And we may be the Good Liars, but on this show, we are going to tell you the truth. And today, the truth is, we are in the spin room
of
the debate, the presidential debate between Vice President Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. We watched it in the spin room, and we have been just spinning all around in circles.
We've been spinning. But we're going to spin the truth on this episode.
All right, so DeVrom, let's get into it. Let's talk about the debate. I hope the audio is okay here. I know it's a little noisy in here. There's political pundits walking around here. We've talked to several that we'll get into.
They're shuffling their little feet. They're murmuring. lots of noise here, which I think is what you were talking about.
Yeah,
lots of muttering.
Lots of peas and carrots. Peas and carrots.
Peas and carrots. Peas and carrots. So, yeah.
But the debate, that's why we're here. We want to say we were not in the main hall. We were not in the, what's it called again, DeVrom?
National Constitution Center.
Sounds about right. I don't know if National's in there. Is National in there?
I'm
not sure.
So.
That makes sense. We were not there, but no one was there. It was a very, very small amount of people in that room. Maybe like 10 people total. And we were in the spin room, which is in the convention center a couple blocks away from where the debate took place. But in the spin room were people from all across the world of politics and media. Lots of big, big stars from the world of media here, including Hannity.
Including Sean Hannity and everyone else you could imagine. And they are our colleagues, clearly,
because
we are in the same room doing the same thing. And it makes a lot of sense when you think about it. We have so much a hard news experience.
Yes, I think it's fair to say we are equals. In the world of journalism, we are equals. With all of these big names.
That's right.
In news. But first, just talking about the debate, what did you think about it, first off? Who do you think won the debate?
I thought it would be relatively even if you were a supporter of one or the other, save for a couple of moments where Donald Trump was just saying wild lies that were kind of fact-checked in real time. But I thought you could have gotten behind your candidate, whichever was your candidate. But those couple of moments, namely the abortions happening after birth, which I think was fact-checked kind of by Kamala,
real time,
but by the moderator as well.
There is no state in this country where it is legal to kill a baby after it's born.
And then also, of course, saying that immigrants are eating people's pets, eating people's cats and dogs.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there. And this is what's happening in our country. And it's a shame.
You bring up Springfield, Ohio, and ABC News did reach out to the city manager there. He told us there have been no credible reports of specific claims of pets being harmed, injured, or abused by individuals within the immigrant community.
So those moments, I would think would hurt him.
Can we hold on that one, too? Because that one got like the biggest reaction, one of the bigger reactions in the room. But his response to it was like, I saw it on television.
Yeah.
I saw it on television. And it wasn't this one, but another one where he said, I saw it on television. He was like, I saw it on all the best shows like Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham and Jesse Waters.
Isn't it so strange? It's like this snake eating itself kind of situation.
While shitting.
It's like, I said it. Other people reported it. I watched people report it. All the same people are saying it and then pointing at each other as the reason that it's true. It's kind of like the election stuff. It's like, you know, when Ted Cruz said 40% of Americans think the election wasn't fair. It's like, you told them.
Yeah, it's because
you're taking polls.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you want to ask me who I thought won the debate, but I asked you that
Moving
question.
Right along, we are... we got sidetracked a little. So it's post-debate. What did you think about the debate?
Thanks for asking, Rob. Yeah. I appreciate that very much.
Sure.
I thought that Vice President Harris won it, and I thought handily, but I don't know. I mean, I see your point, like, if you're a Trump supporter, you're going to walk away a Trump supporter still, but I thought she, like, kind of wiped the floor with him. The wheels kind of started to come off for her a little bit towards the end, but I thought that she did a pretty great job against him and really got under his skin, and we'll get into those moments. Now, I haven't looked at Twitter a lot. Like, we posted a little bit during it, but I haven't, like, been seeing people's responses to things. So one moment that stuck out to me was when he was like, I'm talking. And it was just, like, came across very, very rude.
She was big on defund the police. In Minnesota, she went out. Wait a minute. I'm talking now. If you don't mind, please. Does that sound familiar?
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was rude to interrupt somebody while they're
talking.
Well,
he was referencing when she had protesters at one of her speeches.
Yeah.
She said, I'm speaking.
Yeah, fucked up what she said.
So he said, I'm talking now, or something like
that. You remember that, don't you?
You remember that. It did come across a little bit rude. I definitely think it's a strange scenario when they're in the same room. They can hear each other, but we cannot hear them. So who knows? I don't know if she was talking more than we realized underneath them or not.
And they couldn't hear us, too. You should keep that in mind.
We were talking.
They could not hear a word
nothing.
We said.
Nothing.
I assume.
The whole time. Either that or they were good at ignoring us.
Yes. Yes. What were the other big moments that stood out to you in the debate?
I remember when Kamala Harris said, you should really go to a Trump rally. I think that was something she prepared, and it was kind of a funny thing to say. You should go. He'll talk about this. He'll talk about that. But also, you'll notice that people start leaving early.
Trump is boring is now canon in presidential debate history.
Exactly. Yeah. So it happened, 8 years later.
Hopefully someday go back to their homes.
This is boring.
We're bored.
Tell some jokes. This is
something. Entertain us.
This is boring.
Come on.
So very important.
We're bored.
It's being acknowledged by the wider public. So that, I thought, was an amazing moment. Also, because it clearly bothered him. He started to get, like, more agitated. And I think it was immediately following that he did the dogs and the cats thing.
Yeah.
He was like, I don't know how to get control of the debate again. I'm going to say something fucking wacky.
The look on his face, you could see, like, something cracked in him.
Yeah.
Like, he couldn't do it. He couldn't believe that was true and that people don't love him more than her, and he said things like, you're busing in people and paying them to come. And
isn't that interesting, though, that the fallback would be to get into those, like, kind of darker things and conspiracy talk?
Yeah.
It was like if he felt uncomfortable, and that was his, like, immediate fallback. I don't know what that means. It's a strange thing to fall back on. What did you think was...
Well, I want to reveal something to you right now. I don't know if I've ever told you this before. I've actually been to lots of Trump rallies. I actually have been to quite a number.
No, you seem like the kind of guy who would frequent Trump rallies.
Recently, at the rallies that we both have gone to, I'm going to destroy our bit. The rallies that we've gone to, we usually leave early. We don't watch them speak.
Right.
But we used to stay for them, and people do leave early.
Right.
Like, they, like, are happy
to be. Why do you think they're leaving early?
Well, I don't want it to be like Trump doesn't have support. Like, the rallies are huge. He has like tens of thousands of people that go to these rallies. But people do leave, and we've talked to them on the way out. Some of them are like, I got to beat the traffic.
Ask you a question.
Some of them
are
like, this is really, really boring.
You think this police officer looks like a police officer in a costume of a police officer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Officer Krupke. Right. Oh, there's Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham. It's just walked by us.
Lindsey, do you want to be on the podcast?
We can't move our stuff. All right. That's the thing we haven't really mentioned. If you're watching this now, great. You can see this. But we were in the spin room. There are politicians just walking by us left and right. And let's wrap up talking about the actual meat of the debate, and then we'll get into some of our experiences here. The big moment, I thought, for Harris was that I thought she knocked out of the park was abortion. But she kind of assumed that was going to happen. I thought she had... prepared remarks.
See, I felt this was a missed opportunity, followed by a great
answer. What part was the missed opportunity?
When he said people were having abortions after birth, she should have started her response with, that is not happening in this country and said it plainly and clearly and then gotten into her.
But she did
really
say it in the response
remarks.
Of that, right?
She did the next time around, but she never ended it emphatically saying, look, you know, looking into the camera, saying this is not happening. When you hear this, know that it is a lie. I felt that she had some great remarks after that, but I thought it needed to be said, and I think one of the moderators did it, thankfully, but I thought it was slightly a missed opportunity there.
Yeah, that didn't strike me as like a moment that she really missed it, because I don't know that, like, yes, people are saying that over and over again, and again, it's all going to come down to these suburban voters or whoever is going to change the turnout, the election in these handful of states. I don't know if that's like the one little lie that's going to stick.
I would have repeated it like three times, and so, I cannot believe that every public appearance he feels like he can say this and not feel that it's going to make him look worse and like a liar to say. He's getting away with it still. But regardless, I agree that she went on to like passionately make the case for, you know, people and their making their own decisions and their reproductive rights.
I just want to take a second. Watching this debate compared to the Joe Biden debate, watching the abortion question, which Joe Biden could not even answer. He could not even like form sentences together.
Well, I'm starting to think he shouldn't even be running for president.
And then he ended it with like, I want Roe. And you're like, okay, well, you haven't said anything here.
Right.
But that I felt like finally there's somebody that could answer this question. And obviously coming from a woman, that means a lot more than coming from a man with this issue in particular.
It sounds also like you're talking about the sense of relief you felt with a person up there who could debate.
And I thought she did a good job of that.
I did that.
Hey, folks, folks, I can't believe Joe Biden isn't here in the spin room. Talking to slick talking Joe.
Right.
Talking for Kamala here.
Well,
so weird.
Trump showed up, you know.
Trump showed up. Spoiler alert.
Right.
So the other things with the debate, I want to talk about Harris and a couple things she said that were a little bit untrue. One of those is she talked about Donald Trump saying there's going to be a bloodbath if Joe Biden was elected again.
Right.
And he said right after that it was going to be, and it was like the auto industry or something, or the energy or something.
Right.
And if you watch the clip, Donald Trump was actually right. Like, you didn't have to fucking say that.
Right.
You could just not say
there
that.
There was a reason
there's been so
that,
much more
that,
shit that he's done.
Right. There was a reason that that was kind of in the news and out of the news pretty quickly. People realized it wasn't quite true and shouldn't stick. And like you said, there's plenty to criticize. So, yes, I thought that was unnecessary. An unforced error. That was another thing I thought with January 6th, that there was a missed opportunity with her.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I think the moderator said it, that he waited 2 hours to say anything. I mean, that to me, of all the ways to deflect about that day, you can say you said go down there, you know, peacefully and patriotically or whatever it was that he said. But when it was happening, not to call people off was the big decision of that day that I think it was so undeniable. And I don't
like
think
the reports of him,
him on it.
Being happy about the hey,
right,
Mike
but
Pence
those are
and all that stuff.
You
can,
all those things
whatever.
You can deflect, but to know that he knew it was happening, to wait 2 hours is indefensible.
I'm also going to maybe go one step further here. Maybe denying the election results and having a big rally during the certification of an election, saying that it was stolen, maybe that should be the deal breaker with people.
Right.
And like January 6th should just be the icing on the cake, but that doesn't seem to be the case.
I
can't believe we're here. I'm saying it every fucking time. I can't believe that he's the fucking candidate.
What did you think about when the moderator asked the question about Donald Trump admitting that he'd lost the election like three separate times recently? Lost it by a whisker. And Donald Trump said,
I was being sarcastic. Which is the exact same thing he said 4 years ago. I don't know if it's to the day, but the Joe Biden debate when Joe Biden was like, he was talking about injecting bleach, like using it. He was like, I was joking. Yes, I was being sarcastic.
I have a sense of humor.
We all can have a laugh during this COVID press conference here where people are worried about dying. Oh, my God. Any other big moments you thought from the debate?
The other big moment I thought was the first question that Kamala Harris did not answer at all. And I thought it was a...
I fucking love it. I love that. I really do. It's like, listen, the economy. What was it even about? I don't remember.
The first question, I believe, was... You know,
I'll
people
answer
say
it.
That
to
they,
ask it to me.
Americans say that they are worse off today than they were 4 years ago. Do you think the economy is in better shape or worse shape?
Well, DeVram, I was born in Louisville, Kentucky, the son of a principal and a traveling salesperson. And it was there that I learned that hard work can get you far.
A traveling
in America.
Salesperson?
Yeah, she sold candles and things like that for a little bit.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. She ended up getting a master's in business, and my mom is
so
a very accomplished person.
Talk about the economy a little bit.
Oh, snuck that in there.
But I forget which Trump surrogate we were talking to. That was the first thing they said, was she avoided answering questions. So I thought she should have seen maybe that the economy would be a big question and been slightly more prepared for it, not evaded it so obviously on the first question.
It's very obvious. Very obvious.
Yeah.
Well, and
but neither of them answered
that.
Any questions, really.
No question. Let's say that was the other thing that Donald Trump did. He was like, kept on being like, and we're talking about January 6th, but let's talk about the border. What about the border?
Right.
Like, just trying to say everything back. It's like, you fucking denied the election results, right. And you're still denying it. And then we thought maybe last week that you maybe finally admitted it, but no, you're like, no, I can't do it.
Sarcastic. Everyone likes jokes about the election.
Yeah, exactly. Lost by a whisker. It's a joke.
It's a joke. It's funny.
It's funny.
Try and say that and not laugh.
So overall, we kind of went over this earlier, but you think it was just a tie of a debate?
No, I think Donald Trump lost the debate. I think Kamala Harris won the debate. I just think that they each gave their supporters some things to hold on to, but that Trump's couple of kind of huge, obvious lies, to me, if I were an undecided voter, I would have thought that's not an honest person.
I agree with you. I think Harris won the debate. I thought she did a great job. I'm going to be interested. I'd be interested to see what the polls say after this, if it makes any difference, or if we are just going to be in a coin flip election.
And I do think I actually overheard that from a few people in the spin room here. Who knows what spinning is happening, but saying that this wasn't necessarily going to like turn the polls on their heads in any way. That they felt that Kamala had performed strongly. Bigly.
All right, so let's talk about being in the spin room. We are here. We are in the spin room.
We're well-respected journalists.
We've gotten some side eyes from people. Some people are coming up and say they like the Good Liars. But some people just like looking at us like, why the fuck are you here? And that they ask a very good question with their eyes. Why the fuck are we here?
Right.
And we were kind of asking ourselves that.
Do you have an answer?
I don't. I don't have a good answer.
Right.
I know why we're here, but I don't have a good answer.
Well, we got the car. We drove it down. I know how we got here.
Yes. So... we were here in the spin room. Being here for the debate was interesting because there weren't a lot of like loud reactions from the reporters in here. You would hear people like chuckle at certain things or like have a ooh a couple times. But everybody here was, you know, doing their job.
Press. It's serious. You're not supposed to take a side. You have to be looking at things objectively. So serious bunch. And we were part of that.
Although we would go like, whoop, 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 whoop.
Yeah.
We made all the animal noises.
All the weird
time.
Rainforest kind of noises, yeah.
So what happens is before the debate, you come in here and there are surrogates, just random people. Ted Lieu is walking around and we talked with him.
Right.
Before the debate, and Senator Rick Scott was here and had a nice conversation with him.
It was nice for you to catch up.
It was nice for
you
to catch up.
Right?
I do have a history with Rick Scott. I don't think I've talked about it on the podcast before. I went to a private school growing up in Louisville, Kentucky, because my dad was the principal. Had he not been the principal, we would not be.
Your mom was the
traveling sales
school, traveling sales person.
Yes. But also at the school was Rick Scott's daughter, and she was in my class. She was in my grade. And we had a lot of classes together. And I had a little bit of a crush on her for a little bit.
You didn't tell him that.
I didn't. I thought it would be inappropriate.
It would have been weird.
I mean, this is fourth grade, mind you. Fourth grade, fifth grade. I don't remember. And so I struck up a conversation with Rick Scott and was like, let's do an interview. We talk for a little bit, and before the interview starts, he's talking about to somebody else. He's like, and they wanted medical or marijuana's on the ballot in Florida, and I just think that's terrible, terrible. It's like, and I was like, oh, have you never smoked weed? Never smoked marijuana? He's like, no, never, never. And I'm like, ooh, well, that could change tonight. We hang out or something. And he like
a few laughed. People around kind of chuckle.
Have you ever smoked weed?
Huh?
Have you smoked weed before?
Never in my life.
Really?
No.
We could change that tonight.
But it would be nice to find Rick Scott and smoke some weed with him tonight.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. He talked like this, and he's like, I talk so quietly.
Probably do it if we did it with Rick Scott tonight.
He's like a Chris Kattan character when he talks. Like he's like.
Hey, it was a little bit surprising. Yeah, I didn't know what was going on there.
No. I asked him about Donald Trump not accepting the election results, and he didn't have a good answer for that.
Right.
He didn't have a good answer. I'm interested to see what that looked like. It felt very awkward in the moment. But
I couldn't hear. He was talking too softly.
It was too soft. I hope the audio turns out for that.
Yeah, I feel like that was kind of a running theme. There were like a lot of unanswered questions, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You talked to a current governor, Kristi Noem, and a couple questions to prom ass, where she was like, she goes, you're like, it was quite a dogfight tonight. Yeah.
What did you think about the debate?
Well, we still don't know what Kamala Harris would do if she was given the opportunity to be president. That's
but
what
it was
so
a fierce debate, though, right?
No, it wasn't.
Would you say it was a dogfight?
I would say that the president... President Trump did a fantastic job taking on three people at one time.
Do you think either of them was put down by the other?
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't worried about that. I'm worried about the American people and if they're going to find out who Kamala Harris really is.
But if either of them were put out of their misery on the debate stage, which one was it?
Strange phrase.
Sorry, I guess I was just wondering if you killed that dog.
What are you talking about?
Did you kill the dog?
Oh my gosh, you're crazy.
It has been so hard to get answers to any questions here. Sir, you're on the cord there. She wrote about it in her book.
Yeah.
So is it a crazy question? I don't know, maybe.
Maybe
in
a crazy question.
Room, maybe you don't
maybe
ask them.
Maybe
like
that's a little bit of a weird question.
You think we're getting invited back?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
These are our colleagues.
These are our colleagues.
These are our work. This is their jobs.
These are our work friends.
Yeah.
So you tell, and then who else did you talk to where you were like, me too. That made me laugh the hardest out of any of them because it's just like the opposite of being a reporter.
She dodged every major policy question.
No, but you're dodging this question.
What matters more to the American people?
I'm asking you if people are eating dogs and cats in Ohio.
You're not. Listen, I actually do care about what is happening to our country.
Same.
Do you want to answer or you want me to answer?
You can go first.
Okay. I actually care about what's happening to this country.
Same.
All right, next question.
And here's the other thing I learned in the spin room. You ask a question to somebody.
Yeah.
You get like a little back and forth, and then they're just going to turn, and you feel like you're having a great conversation with somebody. You could talk to them for hours.
And what? What do they do?
They turn, exactly, what you're doing to me right
they
now.
What?
Turn their back
they
on you.
They spin.
Oh, interesting. Well, it's not like a full 360. Yeah.
But they do that in order to talk to the next...
Governor Cooper did that to me
right.
from North Carolina.
And that was a friendly discussion.
Yeah.
But especially when the discussion is a little bit odd or unfriendly, you get that turn pretty quickly.
We were here in the spin room, and we were by the Fox News booth, and like Vivek Ramaswamy was there, who called us clowns at the DNC. But he
famously
pointed us and said he'd do an interview and then walked away and did not do it. Specifically saw us after and did not
do it. Why do you think he did that?
Because he's a clown.
Yeah.
He's a clown. We're not the clowns.
Takes one to know one is what we should have said.
Yeah.
But also, you know, when you're comedians and someone says, you know, clowns, I have a hard time not taking it as a little bit of a compliment.
Yeah, no, clowns, I think he's a big fan.
People laugh. I don't know if he meant it as a compliment, but honestly, it's hard to tell, like, with him. He's kind of a strange guy.
Well, what I was saying was that we were watching the Fox News, and I saw Donald Trump talking to reporters on the screen on Fox News, on their video screen there. And then I was like, oh, that must be at the debate hall. There's a bunch of reporters there, and he's talking to him. And then we go over, like start walking over here, and you've got a microphone, and then we realize
that's right there.
Donald Trump is right there. He was
30 yards away.
All right, so Sean Hannity's got an interview now with Donald Trump, who's right behind me. Very strange in person, very strange strange looking person.
So we were there at one point within a few feet of him. I waited like 10 feet.
What's your best guess as to what he was saying? We couldn't hear him well.
Well, folks, we did such a good job, and she's nasty. She's a nasty person. She really is.
He didn't have the courage to call her stupid to her face.
Called Joe Biden stupid when he wasn't there.
Right.
And like he'd be like, I like Joe when Joe's on his own stage. I don't like, I think he's a bad president. I like Joe. I don't know if you
said that. Oh, the interesting thing regarding that, I think, was when Donald Trump said, and he hates her.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was so weird.
It's strange. Like, I didn't know that was a some sort of a point that he was had been trying to make.
Yeah, yeah.
Strange.
We really couldn't get that close. We were, there was probably like five people in front of us. But still, that's closer to Donald Trump than
we've been in a while.
In a while. It's been a while since we were that close to Donald Trump. Although I was very close to him at his golf resort place in Florida. Anyway, then he's speaking at Fox News, and we're very, very close, and we could see him up close for
leathery
the first time.
Sweat. Kind of, what do you think's going on there?
I don't know what's going on.
How do you cultivate such a texture?
So much makeup. There's so much makeup. His hair, it just looks odd. That's all I can say is it doesn't look
normal. Because it's
like wispy,
but it's not thin necessarily, but it's wispy.
Yeah.
And then now it's taken on sort of a gray tone underneath. It's almost like it's almost been treated so poorly for so long. Been under so
it's
much
been abused
stress,
by all the hairspray.
Abused
hair
by all the stylists and all the lights and all the dye. And so it's almost like it won't hold anymore.
Yeah.
And it's fighting. I mean, you see that it's trying. Fighting.
Could this be a metaphor here? Wow.
Holding on last gasps.
I will say the last thing about Donald Trump, we've just been talking about his appearance for a while now. Watching him talk to Sean Hannity, you know, a couple feet from us, he looks like an old man talking. He looks like a really, really old guy who's just kind of keep not like Joe Biden looked in the debate, but like an old guy who's like really trying to keep it together a little bit.
Right, because there's nothing wrong with being old, but when you couple the being old thing with the like desperately trying to hold on to power.
With the narcissism.
With the narcissism, with the like heavy kind of these heavy lies that really have victims, like this eating dogs and cats thing. Like it is incredible that in this country today, one of the leading candidates for president is just saying this stuff to kind of blanket create fear of other people.
Yeah, yeah. Who are you talking to? Senator Murphy. You asked him about the dogs thing.
Right,
and he
I
was
kind
like,
of asked it in a slightly jokey manner, and I
like,
really respected it. It's not,
it.
Not funny at all.
Some people will laugh at his suggestion that pets are being eaten by immigrants in this country, but to me, it's not funny. To me, it's a sign of a candidate who has something very deep and darkly wrong in his heart.
Okay, so
let's see if Caitlin Collins wants to be on the podcast.
It's a long way to yell.
Well, the spin room coming to a close. And everyone's little wheelie suitcases, the wheels are going to spin their way out of here. It's been an incredible night.
It's been full of spin. And we are grateful that we were able to be here, be a part of the debate, be a part of the spin room, where, you know, people didn't really give us a second thought when we were asking people questions with a microphone and camera, because they thought we were supposed to be here. And we were.
And after a while, we started to believe we were supposed to be here. And what a beautiful thing that was.
And believing is being is reality.
Right.
If you believe it, it is your reality.
Well, careful now.
We
You're
belong.
Gonna start to be on the Donald Trump train if you just say it, and then you say it a few times, and it's true.
And then it becomes true.
Right.
Yeah, well, if he wins this election, we
Tread
will...
lightly.
They will, if we win this... If we win this... Uh-oh. I'm already joining the Trump train. If Donald Trump wins this election, where you can guarantee that all the history books are going to say he won the 2020 election and it was stolen by that vicious old man, Joe Biden.
Vicious.
He's so vicious.
It's interesting. He always says he got 75 million votes more than any other president previously. To me, that feels like admitting that he lost, because the votes that he's saying are legal and counted for him. And the number that Joe Biden got was decidedly many more millions than
right.
that.
Right.
So if you're trusting those, you would kind of think that you're kind of trusting the vote count. It's like, well, yes, you did get a lot of votes. Then the other person got more votes.
Wow, you're saying there's some holes in his theory that he won the
yeah.
election here.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. All right, let's have a moment of truth, DeBrum. Inside the spin room at a United States presidential debate. We were here.
We were here.
What were your thoughts on it?
You know,
the truth.
Spin is your take on things. Everyone, after this debate was over, they were expected to have their take on things. I thought the truth was that a lot of people wouldn't answer the tough questions. So I wish there would have been a little more truth in this spin room. How about you, Jason?
Well, the truth is, I don't feel great right now because I think this was back-to-back interviews, talked to Stephen Miller and Matt Gaetz, and I was touching their hands, at least for Stephen Miller. I touched his hand.
Oh.
How do you respond to that, people saying that you make them a little uncomfortable and that people kind of get uneasy when they're around you?
Then nothing's weirder than giving tampons to boys, as Tim Walz did.
That's actually not true. As it was fact-checked, that's actually not true. Anyway, so that's not true. We fact-checked it, and he does make people very uncomfortable, and I was very uncomfortable when I talked to him. And he looked, his eyes were just like darting all over the place, and it was a very uncomfortable situation for me, and I'm still haven't fully recovered from that right now. My tummy is spinning.
Are you describing
right now
a little bit of a medical emergency?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm having a panic attack.
He's
right
having
now.
A little bit of a panic attack, some sort of medical episode here. So maybe that does it.
You can go to herohero.co/thegoodliars for special ad-free bonus episodes, and you'd be supporting us and helping us go to all these terrible places. Before we go, DeVrom, wrapping up, the Good Liars, tell the truth from the spin room. Any words of wisdom?
If you're going to a spin room, bring a snack, because it's just water. It's just communal things of water. Just make sure that you bring a snack.
There's places to buy stuff around here. You just go right outside there. We're selling sandwiches and coffee and the like. Could have gotten stuff there. All right. Well, there you have it. That does it for the Good Liars Tell the Truth. See you next time. Goodbye.